Begin the current daf, Maseches Krisis daf Yud. Begin on the bottom of Tesem Aveis, on the bottom line, where the Gemara continues in discussion related to the previous daf regarding the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah introduced a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding the topic of what we were discussing in these Mishnayis regarding the types of Mechusei Kapar, one of them being a Yeledes, regarding a situation where a woman miscarried few children within the malaise period of the previous birth, which is, there were two types of cases. We'll pick the case regarding the female. She gives birth to, she miscarried regarding girls. The halacha is, if the fetus was over 40 days old, then when it was miscarried, has halacha like Yeledes, where there's two halachas generally regarding a woman who gives birth. There's halacha of a period of tumah tahara, which is the tumah for when she gives birth to a girl is 14 days, and then another 66 days of tahara, which is a total of 80 days. And then there's halacha that after those 80 days, on the 81st day, is when she brings a carbon. Now, regarding the topic of our parak of our masechta, their machlikas was regarding a situation of carbon, which is, if a woman miscarried within the 80 days, within the 80 days, within the 80 days, they're all viable fetuses because they're over 40 days old, she was able to conceive and then miscarry before the previous period of malaise was over, so there was a machlikas in the Mishnah. The Chacham said that she only brings one carbon for all the miscarriages, and Rebbe Yehuda says no, that she brings for the first, and the third, and then the fifth, and so on. Why? So the Gemara explained. According to Rebbe Yehuda, comes out that it's the first birth that causes the obligation of the carbon. The second one, not, because it's within the malaise of the first one. But the third one, that's not within the malaise of the first one, it's only within the malaise of the second one, but the second malaise is considered non-existent because it's just within, subsumed in the category of the first malaise of the first 80 days. So therefore, the third one will bring. According to Chacham, they said that when there's a miscarriage within the malaise, that second one takes over. So the third one is within the second one. And then so on, the fourth one and the fifth one, they're all within the malaise of the previous one. Therefore, they're all going to have, that's the one that's taking over the obligation. You don't have the obligation of the first, the second, and the third anymore. And therefore, it's going to be the last one that's going to be the obligation. Therefore, you're only going to bring one carbon. That was the machlekes in our Mishnah. And that, the Gemara continues with the following question. It's a continued type of Yudim and Aleph. That whole machlekes is regarding, as Rabbi Yehuda says, that we don't consider the second malaise as significant because it's considered part of the first one, and therefore, yes, the second one holds not going to bring a carbon. The third one you will, because there's no second malaise, so to speak. That's regarding the laws of carbon. Says the Gemara, but Tumah Mali Amar Rabbi Yehuda, what would Rabbi Yehuda tell me regarding the laws of Tumah and Tahara? Would he say that there is a malaise for the second miscarriage regarding the days of purity? Which is, as we said, that there is a malaise, as we'll see regarding the ramifications of that, as the Gemara is going to explain, that is, it has its own malaise regarding the days of Tumah that it has, and then its own Tahara, which is up to a period of 80 days. As the Gemara explains, Mir minadui say, Ad kan loy, and the Gemara says, Kamar, or Kamalei, Rebbe Yehuda, where did we find Rebbe Yehuda saying his halacha? That Vlad Shein, the commander lesser dummy, that the second birth is like, it's not non-existent, that was ill in your carbon. That's where he says that there's no malaise for the second one, as we said, because since it's within the time span of the first miscarriage's carbon, you didn't reach the time that you could bring a carbon for the first one. Keeping the liyotza shashiru lahakar carbon, since it didn't come to a time yet that you could have bring a carbon for the first one, so hoyl v'chein, so since that's the fact, vlad chein the commander lesser dummy. So we consider the second miscarriage slash birth as it's non-existent. So therefore, yeah, it's not going to bring its own carbon. But the third one, again, like we said, that although it's within the malaise of the second one, but we don't consider it significant, so it's like its own new birth, because it's not within the malaise of the first one, will bring its own carbon. That was the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Avol, but maybe, le'inyan tumah v'tahara, regarding the days of impurity and purity, that we would say the second miscarriage would count for itself besides that of the first one. In other words, it will have its own yimei tumah, which is totally independent of the first one's malaise. Because, of course, Rabbi Yehuda considered the first malaise primary. As we said, the second one is subsumed in the first one. But that's regarding the laws of carbon. Regarding Tumah v'Tahara, that Amos Svirulei, Kamandi Isidami, I would tell you that he actually holds that it is as if it is existent. And therefore, Umifzika Tumah d'Sheni. So what does it do if it has its own malaise of Tumah v'Tahara? It stops. The tumah of the second one stops the days of purity of the first one that it was within the malaise of the first one. And he concludes the days of purity of the first one after he's done with his own yimei tumah tahara regarding the second one's birth slash miscarriage. Because The malays of the first one, you can't say that according to Yehuda, you're not going to complete them, because obviously you're saying the second one is having its own malays, which is coming in middle of the mitar of the first one. You can't say that according to Yehuda, because like we said, according to him, the malays of the first one is the primary, as we saw regarding the laws of carbon. So you have to complete the mitar of the first one, the hadamayna, and subsequently, however, but you count the 80 yomei tahara l'sheni, the 80 days of purity for the second one, but it will have its own malays. So therefore, there's going to be a large extension of the days of purity, because it's going to have its own, and it's going to have to complete the days of purity of the first one. Oidemo, maybe then no. L'Reb Yehuda, churmahu de'isle. He holds, both in the context of how we mentioned him in the Mishnah, regarding that he said that regarding the third miscarriage, that you're going to have to bring another carbon, which that's a stringency to have to bring another carbon, and also in regards to the context of what we're discussing over here in our Gemara's question, regarding the Yemei Tumah Metahara of the second one, that is, he holds that it's only going to be that it will have its own malais, and that's the second option of the Gemara's question, only as a stringency, meaning to say that, yes, the second miscarriage will have its own Yemei Tumah Metahara, that, as we know, that she, although she has days of purity for those 66 days, she cannot partake of kachim, she's considered like a tefillah sin for all those 80 days, until she concludes the Yemei Tumah Metahara. Regarding that, maybe Rabbi Yehuda will hold that the second one has malais, but only as a stringency, as his halacha and mishnah is a stringency. Avol hacha kulahu v'kula lesle. But here, in the case that we're describing, there's also a leniency, and that leniency he would not hold of, which, as we were describing the Gemara's question, to say that it's going to have yemei tumah independent just for the second miscarriage, to say, as we said in the first option, to conclude and have to complete the Yemei Tahara of the first birth, besides the second one's Yemei Tumah Tahara, for that thing, says the Gemara, no, for that we're going to say the second one is non-existent, and that Yemei Tahara of the first one, we're not going to complete to say that besides the Yemei Tahara of the second one, that you're going to also have to complete the Yemei Tahara of the first one, because that would be a leniency to extend the Yemei Tahara of the blood of the woman. And for that, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of a leniency. As Rashi explains, you can't say that the second one should be totally nullified, as that would be the stringency option to say, wouldn't that be what the Gemara's question should be? Like, okay, the first option is saying, although he says for carbon, the second malais is not existent, but for Yemei Tumah Metahara, he holds it is. And the second option would be that, no, he holds there's no malais for the second one at all for Yemei Tumah Metahara. Says Rashi, you wouldn't be able to say that, because that would also be a leniency, because if that would be the case, then there wouldn't be any malais for the second one, so then she would be able to eat from kachim at an earlier date. But that would make her, if you count the second as a regular miscarriage, a tefulas yayim, she would have to wait technically 80 days, eating of kachim. So obviously you have to give yemei tahara for the second one, which would not allow her to eat, obviously, for 80 days after the second miscarriage, because if not, then she's going to be partaking of kachim earlier. But the only point that we're saying is, but that we're not going to give her, according to the second option, the to complete the Yemei Tahara of also the first one, because that would be a leniency, because then you would be making her Tahara for all those days when really the Dam would be Tumah. So that's the Gemara's question regarding Yehuda. Do we say that, as the first option says, that it's only regarding carbon that he says the second malais is not there, but regarding Tumah Tahara holds it is there, which could even be a leniency, which means to say that it has on halacha, it stops the Yemei Tahara of the first one, it has its own halacha, but you will go ahead and supplement that Yemei Tahara after you're done, because the first one's primary. So you'll supplement it afterwards, which is a leniency. Or do you say that, no, he says halacha only as a stringency. Even if you'll say, and we have to say, as a stringency, that there is malais for the second one regarding Yemei Tumah Tahara, but not as a leniency. And therefore, you're not going to supplement Yemei Tahara of the first one. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara attempts a few different proofs to prove Rabbi Huda's opinion in the question we just asked. Amar Huna Misura. Says Tashma, let's bring it right from the following brisa. He led this, a woman that gave birth, Sheichetin, we could slaughter for her the carbon Pesach, Vizarkin Eleh, we could throw the blood of our carbon Pesach for her on Erev Pesach, V'yemem L'zachar, if she's on day 40 of a boy, which the Gemara assumes right now what it means to say is that it's 40 days from the days of purity of a male, which that's the extent. After 40 days, then she doesn't have any more Yemei Tahara. On day 40 for a male, they could slaughter and throw the blood of the Karban Pesach for her. And day 80 of when she gave birth to a girl. That's what the Brisa says. And the Girsa adds on the words, Vahavinaba, we had asked regarding this all part of the proof. We had asked regarding this Braisa, what do you mean? How do we understand the Braisa? Ad Kantamehi. What do you mean? Up until this point, she's still going to be considered Tame because she's lacking atonement. She's Mukhaseris Kapara regarding the halacha of eating the carbon Pesach because she can't bring her carbon for post-birth until the following day. So she wouldn't be able to even eat the carbon Pesach that night. Yeah, she's done with the Yemei Tuma, with the Yemei Tuma and Tahara, everything after day 40 for the boy, or day 80 for the girl, but you have to wait till the next day on day 81 or day 41 to bring the carbon and Mechusar Kapara, and you can't bring the carbon Pesach before that, because she can't eat Kadshim before this. So how does it help to bring it on day 40, day 80? She's still going to be considered Tamei. On that, Bam Rav Chisi says, Homani, who's the town of this Braise, it's Rabbi Hudahu. That's who we're discussing. Dama Vlad Shein, the commander lesser dummy, that he says, that the second birth is considered non-existent. Meaning, as Rashi explains what Rav Chisi is saying is, he explains this Braise by a woman that gives birth to twins. One on day one, and the following day, the second one. Which comes out that day 40 of the second boy is actually day 41 from the first boy. So that day is fit to bring a carbon for the first birth, which according to Rita is the primary. You don't go based on the second one, because it's subsumed in the first one that's before that. That's what the Braise is coming to say, that Sheikha didn't allow. Even though she is Mukhaseris Kapara, she didn't yet bring her carbon, but she could bring her carbon that day. What do you mean? It's day 40. Yeah, but it's day 41. After she slaughters the carbon Pesach, she could bring her kapara, her carbon that she has to bring, and she'll be able to eat the carbon Pesach that evening. But one thing we see is that obviously that the second child we consider as non-existent to stop her from counting and continuing the Yemei Tahara of her until the following day, we don't extend her Yemei Tahara to say that it's going to be this day, which is the second day, meaning to say it's day 40 from the second one. We don't say we see it as day 40 and then she has to wait till the next day. No, we consider it as day 41 already. So the Gemara proves. If you say like the first option we had in the Gemara, that regarding Tumah Tahara, Rabbi Yehuda holds different than the halach of Karban Nar Mishnah. That he holds that the second birth is considered like it is existent. Meaning to say, as we had interpreted the Gemara, that to cause that the days of the Tumah Tahara of the first one will be extended, that you'll have to complete the Yemei Tahara of the first one as long as you had interrupted with the second one, so then, Hecha Shachtina Lebiyamem, then how would you be able to slaughter the Karban Pesach on day 40 of the second birth, which was the day after the first one? But that evening, she's not going to be able to eat the Karban Pesach, because like you're saying, according to that option of the first option of the Gemara's question, the second birth causes to extend the Yemei Tahara of the first birth by one day, which comes out that day 8 of the first one is really day 7 of the second one, and it's still from the days of Tumah. And therefore, we're saying that if you're saying that it interrupts the Yemei Tahara of the first one, you have to complete it, so it comes out that until day 42 of the first one, she's not fit to bring atonement, because you have to wait till day 41 of the second one, because it extends it. You do extend it. Lav Shema Menah rather proves Rav Huna from Surah, obviously you see from this Braisa, that no, L'tahara v'l'tumah, and the Gemara says, Nami Svir l'Bihuda, that even Rabbi Yehuda holds, for Tumah and Tahara, that V'lat Shein, the commander lesser than me, that no, that the second birth is like non-existent, and therefore, everything of the second birth is considered subsumed in the first one, and that is to say that we're not going to extend the Yemei Tahara of the first one another day because of the second one, and that's why you could bring the Karban Pesach for on day 40, which means to say of the second one, day 40, which is day 41 of the first one, and because we go totally based on the first one, you don't extend to me Tumah Tahara regarding that of the second birth. Says the Gemara, no. Lo ilam emalach l'tumah l'tahara svi l'Bihuda. I could really tell you that for Tumah Tahara, Bihuda holds the Vlad Cheni Kamandi Isei Dami. Like the first option we had in the Gemara, it is considered like it's existent. However, the Gemara says, that Braisa is not the way we had explained with Rav Chisda, that we're talking about that it's regarding twins and regarding the second child. Rather, we're talking about regular births. But then the question was, regular births, so how does it help to be day 40? That night, she's still Mechusar Kippurim. She can't partake of Kadshim from her Karban Pesach until the following day. Says the Gemara, you're right, V'chitan Yahid, that to understand that Braisa is a different understanding. It's B'Pesach HaBa B'Tumah. We're talking about a Karban Pesach that came in a state of Tumah, where most of the Jewish people were Tumah, which actually the Korban Pesach is permitted for the Jewish people to partake of in a state of impurity. So therefore, even though that night that she's, quote, considered Tumah for Kadshim, because she's Mechus HaKippurim, that's not a problem, because the Jewish people are permitted to partake of Kadshim in the state of Tumah in that situation. Says the Gemara, Mi Achla, would you let this be permitted to partake, even if the whole Jewish people, the majority, are Tumah Mes, that she would be able to partake of the kachim because she is also has a tumah of yeladus? But what's not? The Mishnah Masechet Pesachim that says Pesach above tumah. If the Korban Pesach is brought in a state of ritual impurity, because the majority of Jewish people are, and therefore it's permitted to be done in the state of tumah, lo yichlu mimenu. But the following are not permitted to eat from the Korban Pesach: zavim bezavis, if they have a certain emission by the male or the female; nidais, a woman that's menstruating; v'yoledes, and a woman who gave birth. Why is that? Because when do we permit the tzibur to partake of the Korban Pesach in the state of Tumah? That's specifically regarding Tumas Mes. They became Tumah for coming in contact with a corpse. As the Pasuk says in the Midbar Test, it says, Ish ki'ir, Tumah l'nefesh. If an individual is going to be Tumah, he's not bring the Korban Pesach, he has to wait till Pesach Sheni. But on that, the Gemara Pesachim, Nefesh Vav, and Beis expounds, a person, an individual, gets rejected to Pesach Sheni, but the tzibur doesn't. They do it in the state of Tumah. But that's only regarding Tumas Mes. So you see that she wouldn't be able to partake of it. So how does it help that it's a Pesach above a Tumah? She still wouldn't be able to eat from it. So how do we explain the halacha that they could bring the Korban Pesach for? Says the Gemara, it's not difficult from that Mishnah. Hahi lo yachli, that Mishnah that says that the Yeledes would not eat from the Korban Pesach, even when it's put in the state of Tumah, is kiloi tevilon. It's talking about when the individuals that we counted, Zav and Zava and Nida and Yeledes, if they didn't immerse yet, let's say if her flow of blood didn't stop yet, or it stopped but they didn't count the Shev and the Kiyim and didn't immerse in the mikveh yet. That's when we're saying that those cases would not be able to partake even though it's a Pesach above a Tumah. But what with our breast that we're discussing regarding when she gives birth on day 40, Ki Tanya Hi, when did we learn that breast, the Sheikh, the Mezerkinla, that you could slaughter the Korban Pesach and throw the blood for her? Is the Hatavla. It's because we know that she already immersed, because actually the Yeled is immersed in the mikveh on day 8 of when she gives birth. And when she finished already how you made Tumah for a Zachar. Then the following 33 days she's considered Tar. Now, she's not Tar Legamri. She still needs to have Mechus HaKippurim on day 41. She's considered Tfulas Yemarach, but she already immersed, and therefore she actually would be permitted to partake from the Korban Pesach, from Kachem, and therefore that's the case of the Braisa. But then the Gemara asks, but Ihach, if that's the case, then why do we pick in the Braisa it was day 40 for having birth for a boy, or day 80 for a girl? And the Gemara says, Mishmini Dila, what do you mean? From day 8 of the birth, who dechazia? If you're describing a case of Pesach above Betumah, and if she immersed and she's permitted, so already from day 8 she already immersed. Why do you have to wait to day 40, day 80? So, says the Gemara, no. Mishmini loichazi. From day 8, although she immersed already then, she wouldn't be fit to partake from the Korban Pesach. Kesavah, because he holds, Tful Yom Dezav, Kezav Dami. That someone that immersed that day, let's say by a Zav, is still considered like the Halach of a Zav. And therefore that wouldn't permit her for all those 33 days. She's considered like a Tful Yom, someone immersed in the mikveh, like as if there was no sundown, although there is sundown that day, but it's considered like an extended Tful Yom until the day after the 40th day, when that sundown is considered like already completion of that immersion. But therefore from day 8, she wouldn't be permitted to partake from it yet, because she would still have the halacha like a yuledis. If that's the case, then how does it help? Then even day 40, she shouldn't be fit even to partake of the Korban Pesach that night, as the Gersa adds on the Shita Megubetz Aisyud Beis, because she's still lacking atonement. Which the Gemara assumes that lacking atonement of a Zav is just like the Zav itself. And therefore, she wouldn't be able to eat from the Korban Pesach even when it's brought in a state of impurity, because it's just like a Tful Yom. Says the Gemara, no, la'ai, the truth is, b'yom yom chazya, on day 40 she would be fit, because there is a difference between Tful Yom and Mechus HaKippurim. K'sovim Mechus HaKippurim d'zav, lav k'zav d'me, he holds, although, let's say, Tful Yom, which is the earlier part of purification, when there's immersion, then you have to wait for sundown, and then the following day you bring your carbon, having been a Tful Yom of a Zav is like a Zav. Yeledes that's a Tful Yom Arach would be considered like Tama, like as if she didn't immerse, and would be forbidden to partake of the Korban Pesach. So therefore, wouldn't help from day 8. But day 40, where that night, she's going to be already having done with Tful Yom, she's just going to be lacking atonement, that's not considered like the Tumah itself, and therefore, that's the case that we're describing, that she would, since it's day 40, she's going to be able to partake of the Korban Pesach that night. But the Gemara asks, but Ula Rava, according to Rava, that's mentioned in Perek Shechitas Kodshim, Daf Yud Zayin Mabez, Dama that he says, Mechusa Kippurim Dezav Kizav, that he holds that no, even lacking atonement of a Zav, or like in our case, he led this, is considered like the Tum itself. So then, as the Gir says, Hamas Nasi, how is he going to explain the Braisa? It doesn't help to say Mechusa Kippurim, it's still not going to be able to partake of the Kutcha, of the Karam Pesach. So Amar Vashi says, you're right, Rava is not going to explain the Braisa the way we just described, that when we're saying day 40 of a boy or day 80 of a girl, it means to say regarding the Yimei Tahara after giving birth to a boy or to a girl. Rather, he's going to give a different interpretation. Metaritzla, he's going to explain it as follows. The Yoimem Liyitzira Zachar, it means day 40 from the formation, from the conception of when there's a boy. And then she gives birth to a boy, then she could go ahead and slaughter that day. If it's day 40 from conception, that she miscarried the boy. Day 80 of when she conceived the girl. If she miscarries a girl on day 80 of conception, that's when we're saying that we could bring a Karban Pesach for her. Why? Because Rabbi Shmuel, he's going like Rabbi Shmuel, who's born Masech does need the Dav Lamed Ben Alv, the Amid that he says, this that we say that if it's considered a fetus to have Halach of Tumas Yeledus, he differentiates between if it's a boy or a girl. Dama, he says, Lazachar Mem Ve'echad. He says, for a boy to be considered as a viable fetus, means to say something that's considered not just a sack of water, to say that it's going to have Tumas Yeledus, is Lazachar Mem Ve'echad. For a boy, has to be 41 days up to conception. And Linnakeva, for the creation of a girl, has to be Shemayin Ve'echad, 81 days. So therefore, what the Braisa was saying was, if it's day 40 from conception from a boy, or day 80 from conception of a girl, if she miscarries that day, it's like a sack of water. There wasn't any viable fetus over here, and therefore she doesn't have Tumas Yeledus. Of course, we could go and check the Mizrak and allow a Karban Pesach. But the Gemara says, fine, that takes care of Tumas Yeledus. But Saif, typically the Tumehi Mishum Nida, but at the end of the day, if she miscarried that day, she should be Tumei, and thus forbidden to bring the Karban Pesach, to partake of Kachin, because she's like a Halach of Nida, where when she gives birth, generally blood comes out, and that gives her the Halach of Nida. So the Gemara, no, Beledi Yavish, we're talking about a dry birth, which doesn't have any blood. So the Gemara says, Yachem Elamem, so what was the Chiddush of the Braisa telling us? So the Gemara, Ma'od Etemu, what would you say, E'ef Shlepsichas HaKever Beledam, that's not possible, which literally means the opening of the grave, which is referring to the womb, without any blood. So you would think that she would not be able to partake of the Kachin, the Karban Pesach that night. That's what the Braisa is telling you. No, it's possible to give birth without blood. And if there was no blood, and we're not going to say that, oh, we missed it, she's not tummy, doesn't have tummy's nida, and she's not going to let this because it was within 40 days of a boy, or 81, or 80 days of the conception of a girl, which doesn't, according to Bishmal, give her halacha of yeledis. So therefore, we attempted to bring a proof from this Braisa to say that we see a proof to Rabbi Huda's opinion. And that says the Gemara, no, there's no proof regarding the halacha of Rabbi Huda's opinion, as we refuted the proof. So the Gemara continues saying, Amar B'Shemaya, he tries to bring a proof regarding this question we had according to Rabbi Huda, regarding does he count the Malaysa, the second one, regarding Tumah V'Tahara, or not, meaning as a leniency, or only as a stringency, says Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following Braisa. Braisa quotes the Pasuk in the Yukram, that says that if she's going to give birth to a girl, so she's Tameh for 2 weeks, like double of a Nida, and Shishim, which that's the words the Braisa is quoting, 60 days and 6 days, which is a total of 66 days, that for those 66 days she's tar. Now, regarding the Shishim, the 60 days, which is the bulk of the Yimei Tahara after having given birth to a girl, says the Braisa as follows. Yochel bein ritzufin. You would think that whether if it's contiguous, consecutive, meaning if the 66 days go straight, meaning that she didn't have another miscarriage within those days, or bein mefuzarin, or whether if they're spread out. For example, if let's say after 54 days she goes and she has another miscarriage after the first birth, you would think that in such a situation that the Yimei Tahara of the first one would be stopped because of the tumah of this second miscarriage, meaning from the second birth, and then you would complete the 60 days of Tahara of the first birth besides the tumah of the miscarriage that stopped them in the middle, that then you would complete afterwards the Yimei Tahara of the first one. So the Braisa, no, it says Shishim Yoyim. Yoyim is singular, 60 days. Ma Yoyim Rotsav, just like a day is continuous, meaning one day is either your tummy or your tar. You don't have a day that's half and half. Av Shishim Kul Mitzufin, so too, the word Shishim right before this word Yoyim is also continuous, that the days of Tahara have to be continuous. You can't, if you have a miscarriage in the middle, then conclude the Yimei Tahara afterwards. Says the Gemara, who's the Tana of this price? Ilim Rabban, everything is Rabbanon. Be is Rabbanon Mufazaran. Do the Rabbanon even hold the concept of Mufazaran to say that we're coming to exclude from that? What do you mean? As we said in the previous daf, they hold you always count from the second birth. Of course you're not completing and concluding the Yemetara of the first one. You always go based on the torchbearer continues to the last birth. So therefore you don't even have the concept of Mufazaran, of maybe supplementing it. So, Elalav Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, obviously the Braisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that there is Yimei Tara of the first one. Because like we said, he holds the primary birth, as we learned regarding the laws of carbon, is the first birth. And on that, the Braisa is coming to say over here that, however, regarding Tumah V'Tahara, he doesn't hold that there's going to be Yimei Tahara of the first one. Because if that would be the case, then you wouldn't have the halacha of Tumah V'Ritzufin. Rather, he says, that's what the Braisa is coming to teach, that you count from the second one. Says the Gemara, from the fact that he says in this Braisa that it has to be 60 continuous days, obviously, it's like the second option we had in the Gemara previously, that what does he teach us in the Mishnah? That he says that the second Melois is non-existent. He's telling us the stringency, that you're going to have more Karbanos, that regarding the laws of carbon, that's what he says, that you're going to count for the first one and not for the second one, and then therefore you have to bring a carbon for the third miscarriage. But regarding Tumah, to supplement the Mitahara of the first one to count it Mifuzaren, that he doesn't hold. Because Kula has a leniency to have to then subsequently supplement the Mitahara of the second, after the second one, that Leslie doesn't hold of. So you see, like the second option of the Gemara, that he holds has to be continuous and he won't supplement the first day's Mitahara. So Zimu Allah, no, it's not a riot. Loyal Rabban, he would say that this braise is like Rabban. What are we talking about over here? Meaning, according to Rabbanu, when do you have Mufazaran? You never go based on the first one. As the Girsa is, we're talking about where she gives birth, she miscarries a male, a boy, within 80 days of having given birth to a girl. With the Yemei Tara of the subsequent boy will actually be completed before the 80 days of the girl that she had given birth to first. In such a situation, the Yemei Tahara of the second one will be completed before the Yemei Tahara of the first one. The other Rabbanan don't hold that you're going to count only from the days of the second one, and he holds that you, of course, you'll have to complete the Yemei Tahara of the first one. What's the pasuk coming to teach us? That you don't complete after the 80 days of the first birth, that to add on 7 days to correlate to the 7 days of Tumah of the boy that was miscarried, which stopped in the middle. Rather, no, you'll continue counting with the second one, you won't add on another 7 days. And therefore, there's no raya to the halacha of Yehuda, because we're actually going like Rabbanan, where in this case, they'll actually will hold that there will be a counting of the first one. And we're saying, you don't do Mufazaran, meaning you don't add on another 7 days, which was interrupted by the Tumas of the Zachar that she miscarried. But the Gemara asked him this interpretation, but Saif, you can't have the case that you just tried describing, that you said that you're going to have the days of the second one being completed before the days of the first one. That's not possible, because actually the case you're describing is Shalman Yom Dekadma, actually the days of the first one, meaning of the 80 days of the girl that had the first birth, is completed because Va'ad Kan De Basra, until when you get to the 40 days of the, when she miscarries by a boy, Lay Shalman, it's not going to be completed, because you can't have the birth of the boy until after 54 days of having given birth to a girl, because there's 14 days which she can't have relations, which she has the tumah of a girl, and then it takes 40 days for the conception of the boy to be considered as a tumah yeledes. So that obviously you're going to have its tumah, which goes on for 7 days after, it's going to be after the Yemei Tahara, which is another 40 days, is going to be after the days of the first girl. And daha Rabbanon levlad sheni manu. So in such a situation, that you, the Rabbanon, as we said in the halacha of the Mishnah, count from the second one. We don't have halacha mufazaran. So what exactly, how you explain this price, like Rabbanon? So the Rav says the Gemara, no, mishkachas al Rabbanon, we could find a case that we're trying to explain for the Rabbanon, but you led this to umim, where this, that takes care of the problem of having to wait, of having relations, and then being considered a viable fetus, where she actually gives birth, where she conceived twins. Now, Nekeva Kadmayasa, Bazacha Basra, the first child from the twins that she gave birth to was the girl, and subsequently came out the boy. Where the boy came out actually much later from the first twin, was actually 20 days, which is not precise necessarily 20, it could be more or less than 20, but it means to say, within the Yemei of Tahara, after the 14 days of Tumah of the girl, came out the boy. Where you have to wait 7 days of Tumah of the second birth of the boy, where it's, although you're still within days of Tahara of the girl, but she's Tummy simply for having given birth, taking out the Girsa takes out the next two words. And this is what the Brace is saying. You would think, we're going like the Rabbanan, where if she gives birth to twins, first a girl, and then subsequently, 20 days later, let's say, a boy, so you would think, okay, the Tumah of having given birth for the Zachar, which is 20 days into it's 20 days after the birth of the girl, that then the Tumah of the 7 days of having given birth will stop in the middle, the Nimnilan, but then will count, and the Gersa takes out the word Shisha, but it's going on the Shishim Mufazaran, but we're talking about the 66 days of the Tahara, of having given birth to a girl, that actually, but then we will supplement it. In other words, yeah, you stop for the 7 days of Tumah of a boy, to not have, you made Tahara of a girl, because she actually is Tummy now these days, but we will supplement those 7 days later on, after we count 80 days from the first birth, we'll add on those 7 days, which is the Halacha Mufazaren. That's what the Brice is teaching, and you could have that within, that the second one is within the first one. That's the Brice teaching, no day. Mayem kuli ratzav, just like a day has to be continuous. Avshisham kuli ratzufim, so too, the 60 has to be continuous. In other words, we'll have the boys being done before the girls. So the girls will continue. We will go from the base in the first one. But the thing is, you would have thought that we're even going to add on days, that it'll be what we mean to say, this mifuzaren. That's what we're saying, that no, it has to be all continuous, not adding on any days that we interrupt it in the middle to say, okay, we're adding on later, which would not be Ritzufin. But therefore, again, the Gemara in the second attempt did not bring a right to the question regarding Rabbi Yehuda, because it's not even going like it, it's going like Rabban. So Amabai says, Tashma, he tries to bring a third attempt to prove this question we had regarding Rabbi Yehuda from the following Braisa. The pasuk before the pasuk we were quoting, regarding where if she gives birth to a boy, it says, and Shloishim, 30 days and 3 days, which is 33 days, shall have days of purity. I mean, the 7 days of Tumah, 33 days of Tahara, which, again, we were saying, ends after 40 days. But it says the Braisa is similar to the previous Braisa, but just here, it'll be conclusive, the proof. Yachol bein ritzufin bein mufazaren. So you would think, okay, these 30 days of Tahara, when she has a boy, would be whether continuous or whether if it's spread out. For example, and this is the obvious proof, where if she gives birth to twins, and she gives birth to the second child within 30 days of the first boy. So you would think that, okay, you'll give her another 7 days, besides the 40 days from the first birth, for example, because you have the 7 days of the second Tumah which interrupted, which that would be considered Mifuzaren, because you interrupted with the days of Tumah in between, which weren't counted for the days of Tahara. You would think, but no, you have to give 30 days of Tahara, and you'll give it however it takes, even to supplement later on. No, that's what it says, Shleishim Yom, 30 days. A day is one unit. Ma Yom Kuli Ratzav, just like a day is contiguous. Av Shleishim Ritzufim, so too, 30 has to be continuous. And therefore, you can't supplement it later on. Says the Gemara Manihu, who's the Tana of this price? Elim Le Rabban, it is going like Rabban, the way we had interpreted the previous price when we talked about 60. But in that says the Gemara, Miyas Le Rabban, and does Rabban hold as you continue to Medbeis, Mifuzaren, that it's spread out? Ha, and the Gersa takes the word Amri, Rabbanon, Levlad, Sheini, Manya, the Rabbanon, they count from the second birth, not from the first one. Now, additionally, since here we're talking about that the first one was a boy, you can't say, like we said in the previous Brisa, that, oh, the Yemei Tahara of the first one continues and extends after the Yemei Tahara of the second one, because here we're talking about a boy. And a boy, it's not going to be any later than the second miscarriage, which is also a boy. So you can't explain it like the Rabbanon. And in the primary halacha, the Rabban never go on the first one, they go on the second one. So obviously there's no Ritzufin, because what do you mean to supplement? We leave the first one anyway. Elav Rabbi Yehudahi, obviously Tana B'Raisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who generally does count for the first birth. And still he's saying, but no, that it has to be Ritzufin. Obviously, that we count from the second one, in regards to the laws of Tara, we count from the second one. B'shma minah, yeah, chumri islay, kula leslay. One thing we see is that he holds it as a stringency, but not as a leniency, meaning that although we're going with the second one, because that we said from Rashi already that you have to go with as a stringency, but as a leniency that we don't do to extend the Yemei Tahara of the first one to supplement another 7 days correlating to the 7 days of Tumah that they were, and after the days of Tahara, the second one, because that would be an extra leniency. We see, no, it has to be Ritzufin, and it can't be Mufazarin. That conclusively proves, like the second option the Gemara had, although there's going to be a Malaysa, the second one, regarding Tumah Tahara, but only as a stringency, not as a leniency. And this halacha in our Mishnah was also a stringency regarding the laws of carbon, and therefore we don't prove anything regarding as a leniency. Vayom Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi brought a conclusive proof, Toshama. With the pasuk that we were quoting the part that says Shishim Yoim, and it says Visheshes Yomim, in 6 days. Now, says the Brayso, Yochel Bein Ritzuf, and the Bein Mufazarin, you would think regarding the units of days, regarding the smaller Sheshes Yomim, that those 6 days, from the 66 days, could be continuous or even spread out. Meaning, would you have just the 6 days? For example, let's say she miscarried 66 days into her days of purity after having given birth to a girl, which is 77 days after the birth. Now, she should have counted another 3 days, and then she would have been done. But 3 days before the end, she miscarries and she becomes tamei because of a birth. Now, you would think, so, okay, you'll give her another 3 days, correlating to these 3 days of tamei, which she didn't have for her days of tara, which will be 6 spread out days. These are the sheishes yamim, where you have the 3 days later on. And the reason is why we would have entertained this, even though we just said before, we don't say that they're mefazarin, is because here it doesn't say yaim, it says yamim, which sounds like even if they're spread out, it's not one unit, it's different days. Tamalayim shishim. No, but it compares sheishes to shishim. Shishim yoyim b'sheishes yamim. Just like shishim, ma shishim kulm ritzufin have to be continuous, av shishim kulm ritzufin, so to the 6 have to be continuous. Says the Gemara Mani, who's the town of this b'raisa. Ilim rabban, everything is like the rabbanon. Miyis rabban, mufizarim, the rabban hold of anything that when it's spread out, meaning to supplement the first one's birth. Haram rabban l'vlad sheini mani, but rabban say that you always go with the second birth. And the days of the second birth over here extend many days after the 80 days of the first girl, and therefore, like, we can't interpret like we had originally interpreted as a rejection to say like Rabbanan, so you can't have Mufazarin over here. Allah Rabbi Yehuda, obviously the bride is going like Rabbi Yehuda, the Shmamina, but what we see from here, that yes, we're going from the second one, however, Chumra Islay only holds it as a stringency, Kula Leslay doesn't hold that as a leniency to even say that we'll extend the first one's Imeitara. Shmamina, again, we proved the second time, like the second option of the Gemara's question, in regards to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda regarding Tumah V'Tahara, that there's going to be Malais from the second one only as a Chumra, but not as a Kula. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Continuing on the theme we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, which we're talking about unique features of different types of karbanis, unlike the first parak, which is the classic, when there's a shegig for a chiv karis, then you bring a karban chatas. Elam levin karban oyle b'yarid. These bring a karban, what's called going up and going down, which is depending on the person's financial status, he's going to bring a different type of a karban. And they are al shmias koil, for hearing the koil, which refers to the pasi that says v'shama koil ola, but it means to say what's called shpuz ha'edis. Someone swears falsely that he doesn't know testimony, and really he does know testimony. So then he has to bring a karban oyle b'yarid. Vabitis v'asayim for the utterances of the lips, which means to say if someone takes a shvua and he doesn't, it's not fulfilling what the reality was. Or Valtumas Mikdash Kadashim, someone by mistake is tame and he goes into the base of Mikdash or partakes of Kadshim. So too, Bitis Vasayim, they're all written together in the Parsha Mayukah, which talks about the carbon oil of Yerud. Because the pasuk that says, Oy Nefesh Kisi Ga Bechol Dabar Tame, the Gemara in the first paragraph of Mesechta Shavuot explains it's talking about Tumas Mikdash Kadashim. So those are three. And they have the Hayiladis, the one who gives birth, which we're discussing. Vametzaira, and the Metzaira, all these five categories have the unique halacha of the carbon oil b'yerid. However, turn around within the Braisa, that there are differences regarding the oil b'yerid of these different categories. Now, there's three total categories. There's what's called a wealthy individual, brings a kisva or a seira, a she-goat or a she-lamb. Then there's dalis, which is poor, which you bring tayrim of neyayna, turtle doves, and pigeons. And then there's dalis, very poor, which that brings a seira se'efa, just a tenth of an efa of flour as a mincha. Says the Brisa as follows, and there's different interpretations how to explain this Brisa. Yesh may be bedalas v'ashiris. There are certain cases, certain individuals, that they bring in their carbon the poor and the wealthy carbon together. Yesh may be bedalas, there are those who bring only the poor ones. Yesh may be bedalas, and those who bring only the poorest of the poor carbon, that of the Asir Seif. As the Brisa explains. Yeledes, a wealthy Yoledis, this is one interpretation, Mevia Bedalis Vashiris. She brings her carbon, when she's wealthy, together a joint wealthy and poor carbon, because she's bringing a Kevis La'ila, lamb for her Ayla, and she's also bringing a venyena or a tar, a pigeon or a turtle dove for a carbon chatas. So in her wealthy carbon, she's bringing both the Ashira's carbon and the dallas. Now, a metzaira, a poor metzaira, maybe bedallas only brings the poor person's carbon, where he brings two birds if he's poor. Shmias HaKoyl, Ubitis Osayim, Betumas Mikdash Kedashim, those three are explicit in Sefer Vayikra that they're Mevim Bedalis, they bring, if they don't have money, the poor person's carbon of the two birds, or Vedali Dallas, or even the poor person's carbon, that of the Asir Seif. Now, Tanya Dik will learn another Braisa, which is explained in Sefer Vayikra, that Yesh, maybe, that the Gemara is going to explain this Braisa later on. Yesh may be echad tachas echad. They are individuals who bring one carbon in place of another carbon. Yesh may be shnaim tachas shnaim, that those who bring two in place of two. Yesh may be shnaim tachas echad, that those who bring two in place of one. Yesh may be echad tachas shnaim, their situation will bring one instead of two. And says the Brais, so mekana to lomit, from here you learn la siris eifa bepruta, that the tenth of the eifa, which is the poorest carbon, could be even worth just a pruta. So the Brais explains as follows. Yuladis, explaining in the order of what these things are, a woman who gave birth, mevia achas tachas achas, she brings, when she's dal, when she's poor, she'll bring one instead of one. Meaning, she brings two turtle doves when she's poor. Which that is, prey the achas, she's bringing one bird of the oif, of a bird, tachas kevis, in place of the lamb of the oila. Meaning, she was always bringing one bird and one lamb when she was wealthy. Now, when she's poor, she's bringing one bird in place of one animal, one in place of one. One bird in place of the oila that was a lamb. Now, Metzaira, someone that's Taras, when he's bringing his purification, Shtei Preidin Tachas Shnei Kvasim, he brings two birds in place of two lambs, so it's two in place of two, when he's poor. Shmias HaKol, Obitis V'Saim, Betumas Mekdash HaKadoshim, those three categories, Mevin Beis Preidin Tachas Kivsachas, they bring two birds in place of one lamb, so that's two in place of one. But Mevin Bedali Dalats, and when they're very poor, they bring Asira Seifa Tachas Shtei Preidin, they bring one tenth of an Eifa in the place of the two birds, which that's one in place of two. That's the Brisa. Now, says the Gemara Katani, but one thing the Brisa says when it concluded, it said, Mekana Talamit, from here you learn, Lasira Seifa Shibipruta, that the tenth of the Eifa, which is the poorest carbon by those three categories, Shibipruta, which is, could even be worth the lowest denomination of currency, which is a Pruta. Says Gemara Menolim, what do we see from these halachas that the Asir Seifa could be even a Pruta? Says Gemara, because we'll prove it that way. If someone says, I'm taking upon myself a carbon that is purchased besela, that's going to cost a sela, to bring it as a carbon on the mizbeach. So maybe kevis, what carbon does he bring? He brings a lamb. Why? She'ain't of a carb besela, ele kevis. Because what is classically the value of a sela? It's a lamb. Mimai, where do we know this from? Because Menda Amar Rachmanah, from the fact that the Torah says when it talks about Asham Me'ilas, which is when someone misappropriates from Hektish, says in Sefer Vayikra that he has to bring an Ashram. Now it says, El Ashram, he brings a ram that's a carbon Ashram, Bekesef Shkalim. Now it says that he's saying in the plural Shkalim, which is telling us that a shekel is a selah, is to bring, the Ashram has to be worth two slum. Now Machlal, the inference is, the Keves Ben Shana Besela. A ram is 2 years old. A lamb which is 1 year old brings it half that price, because it's half the age, for one selah. A lamb is in its first year. So it'll be half. So you see that the keves is a sela. Therefore, when someone says I'm bringing a carbon for a sela, it means a lamb. Additionally, continues the Gemara with the proof to ultimately prove that the Asir Seif is a pruta, utznan. We learned in the previous mission of Chesem and Aleph that there was an announcement made to help people have to bring karbanos when they were very expensive. So the price of the pairs of birds went down dramatically to the least amount that it could be, which was that it was 2 quarters for 2 pairs of birds, which means say every pair of bird was a quarter of a dinner, which that's when someone brings 2 birds when they're poor, that's called a pair of birds, which that we see that the minimum of that is a quarter of a dinner. Now, when the person is bringing those pair of birds, that's taking the place of the lamb that he's supposed to bring, which is an animal if he's wealthy, which is purchased for a sela. So that comes out that it's a 16th of a sela, because a sela is 4 dinar. So it comes out that a quarter of a dinar is 16th of a sela. So says the Gemara as follows. From the fact that the Torah is concerned for someone that's poor instead of wealthy, the middle category, that he could bring a carbon, the pair of birds, that's a 16th of the wealthy man's carbon. So we could extend that a little bit further. So then we can see that the Torah was concerned and merciful on someone that's very poor, to be a 16th of someone that's the poor man's carbon. So, but then says the Gemara, so what's the calculation come out to be? Dallas kamahavir. So like we said, how much is the poor man's carbon, which is the pair of birds? That we said is a river, is a quarter of a dinar. Now, v'kama priti b'river, how many prutois are in a quarter of a dinar? Arbom, b'tumanya priti, it's 48 prutois, as Rashi brings, that we find that a quarter of a dinar is 48 prutois, as the Gemara says in the first part, Masechta Kedushin of Bezim et Alf, that it says that six ma of is a dinner. Now, a ma itself is two punyun. A punyun is two isarin. A isar is two masmasas. A masmas is two kontrik. A kontrik is two prutas. Comes out, the way we just described it, that there's 32 prutas in a ma. It comes out, therefore, that a ma and a half, which is a quarter of a dinner, are 48 prutas. So says the Gemara as follows. Since you're saying that dali dalas, which is the carbon of the asirut se'efa, that it could be 1/16 of the carbon of the dalas. So it comes out that the asir se'efa actually, chad mishis aser, as the Gersa puts the word over here, the dalas kamahava. So how much is 1/16 of the poor man's carbon of the pair of birds? That would be tlasa priti, that would be 3 prutas, because that's 1/16 of 48, which that's how many prutas there are in the quarter of a dinner. But for Katani, but the Braisa says, Mekana talomad l'asir seifa bepruta, it says that, oh, from here you learn that the asir seifa could be a pruta. Ask the Gemara, my pruta, why a pruta? Ha'amar asir seifa dali dalas, but you said that the tenth of the eifa is the poorest carbon. Va'amar, you said, chad mishisrei de dalas hu dechashvim, we're going to calculate 1/16 of the poor man's carbon. Digimel pruta, that's 3 prutas, not 1 pruta. Says the Gemara, Tana, the Tana of the Braisa, of when it's describing the carbon of Dallas, which we're learning a Dallas, Dali Dallas from Dallas, Miyaledis Yalov. He learns it out from the Dallas of a woman who gives birth. There, the Master prayed the Achas. She brings one bird, which is bought for an eighth of a dinner, Tachas Kevis. Because usually it's usually a quarter. Well, here we're saying that it's an eighth. She only brings one bird, Tachas Kevis. Like we said, there she's one for one, Tachas Kevis, in the place of a lamb, which is purchased for a seller. The Havachad Mitlosin would train the Kevis, which there comes out to be 132 instead of 1/16, because here it's, instead of taking two birds for one, it's actually one bird for one lamb, which is 132nd of a lamb, which is 24 prutas, not 48 prutas. And therefore, from there is where we learn out regarding the Asir Seifa. But that is to give him a weight. Va'ad Kan, Dali Dalas Kamahava. Until now, what were we saying? How are we describing what's the minimum you could do for the poorest carbon? Chad mishis eser bedalas. You're saying it's 1/16 of the poor man's carbon. Just like you learn out 1/16, just like you learn a dalas from Ashiris, which is the same ratio. But says the Gemara, but de mehechi yalef. Because where exactly do you learn this concept out for? In other words, although that you want to learn that you could find by dalas, by the middle category, that yeah, there it's possible to be 1 out of 32, like we find by Yeledis. But Dali Dallas, you don't find by Yeledis, because there is no lowest category of Dali Dallas by Yeledis. So obviously, if you want to learn out this whole concept of Dali Dallas, it would have to be Mekevis Va'il. It would have to be from the lamb versus the ram, like we had learned earlier, because you only find Dali Dallas by Shemiya Sakol, Bittes Vasayim, Metam Mikdash Kedashim. So obviously, if you're learning out Dali Dallas, you're learning out from the Dallas of those three categories. So just like their Dallas are two birds in the place of one lamb, which is 1/16 of Dallas. So obviously, Dali Dallas is also going to have to be 1/16 of Dallas. So in other words, although yes, you're finding a situation where, no, Dallas you can find, like by Yeledis, that it's one bird, which is the eighth of a dinner, which is 24 prutas. So in that regard, you'll have 1 out of 32. But when you extend it one step further to Dali Dallas, that step is going to have to be 1 out of 16, not 1 out of 32. So you'll be able to cut it down in half. It's not going to be 3 prutas. But adkan pruta palgahava, at the most is going to be a pruta and a half. It's not going to be the pruta that the Braisa had said. So Amar Ravi says, no, kula milsa miyeledis yalef. No, we're learning at the whole halacha from Yeledis. And you're right, although there's no Dali Dallas by Yeledis, but you could learn that from there, because you could extrapolate. Vachikam, and this is what the Braisa is saying. Midachas rachmana le'dalas, from the fact that the Torah is merciful on the poor person. like we find B'yaledis. The Mehavichad Mitlasin B'trim Bashiris, that it can be one out of 32 parts from that of the wealthy woman's carbon. Umahi, like we said, what is that? That's Yeledis. So, Hachichas Rechman, Aladid Aladas. So, you're right, but Yeledis doesn't have the Aladas. But wherever it does have the poorest of the poor, you go to Kulona from Yeledis. Lemehavichad Mitlasin B'trim Batalas, that it goes to be one out of 32 from that of the poor one. And, like we said, the Dalas of Yeledis is 24 Prutas. So, it comes that the Dal of the Dal is going to be even less than the pruta, which is going to be 132 of that. So therefore, that is the source that we have in the halacha of the price. But says the Gemara, if that's the case, nechi riba de pruta, but actually going to be a quarter, it's going to be a quarter less than the pruta. It's not going to be a whole pruta. Why are you saying it has to be a pruta? Says the Gemara, you're right. The calculation describes the mercy on Dali Dala is even less than the pruta. It's not appropriate to bring something, a carbon, less than the pruta is worth to Hashem, and therefore we say a pruta, but that's how we get the calculation, where we find that by Yeledis, she brings one bird in the place of a carbon. Unlike most words, two birds in the place of a carbon. Here it's one out of one, which is 132, and we extend that to the Asir Seif of Dali Dals. There's also going to be 132, and which therefore that's a pruta, even less than a pruta, but that's going to be where we find the Asir Seif as a pruta. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on related themes that we had mentioned before regarding a Shifcha and other Arayas from the first parak, the second parak. Says the Mishnah, Ma bein Shifcha lebein kal Arayas? What's the difference between the Shifcha Charufa, as going to qualify what it is at the end of this Mishnah, where if one has forbidden relations with that married maidservant, lebein kal Arayas, to all forbidden relationships. Says the Mishnah, Shalei Shavs lehen loy ba'oinish v'loy b'karbon, because they're not the same regarding punishments and regarding the carbon that they bring. As the Mishnah says, Shakala rais b'chatas. All forbidden relationships, a person, when they do it by mistake, has to bring a karma chatas. The Shifcha ba'ashem. By the Shifcha charufa, that's a different carbon called a guilt of offering of ashem. Additionally, kala rais b'ne keva. All individuals that bring a karma chatas, and regarding to arayas, you bring a female animal, which is a kisva, a seira, a she-goat, or a she-lamb. But the shivcha bezachar, by the maidservant, when it's ashem, it's actually a male animal, which is a ram. Additionally, kol arayis, all forbidden relations, echad ish ve'echad isha shav memakas b'karbon. Whether the participant is a man or a woman, they're both the same regarding getting lashes, regarding bringing the carbon. Where if they do it deliberately, they both get lashes. As the pasuk says, ish oy isha kiyasim kol chatzis adam. The pasuk equates a man to a woman to a man for all punishments, where she'll get the same punishment here. And if they do it by mistake, they're both going to bring a carbon, because both of them, if they did it deliberately, would get karas. As it says, v'nichrisu hanafashes ha'aises, and whoever, when they do it deliberately, gets karas, brings a karma chatzis when they do it by mistake. That's by the halacha of arayis. But b'shifcha lehishba lehish leisha b'makis, but by the maidservant, no, the man's not the same as the woman who she gets lashes. V'lehishva isha leish b'karbon, and she's not the same as the man that he brings a carbon, where the woman gets the lashes, the maidservant, the man brings the ashram, as the Muslim explained, they're men and women and not the same. Additionally, kol arayis, asabenesim arakugamer. By all forbidden relations, we make someone that does hara, which is just the beginning stages of relations, as if they completed the act of relations, as the Gemara in Yevamos learns the seven daf nun gimel beis, in contrast by a shivcha, they're actually, the liability is only on gemar bi, on the conclusion of relations, because the pasuk says shichla zera has to be a type of relaying that would have been fit to conceive a child, which is only with gemar bi. Additionally, v'chayva kol bia bia, by a raias is a liability for every act of cohabitation separately. In contrast, by a shivcha, we had previously said enough tesma beis that he brings one carbon for all the bias he had with her. It says the Mishnah, but this is a trinity that applies by Shivcha Harufa over that of Arayis, as a contender of Yeral from Alf, as we said in the previous Mishnah, where there, he's going to be Chayav a carbon, not just that he does it by mistake, but even if he does it deliberately, he's going to be Chayav a carbon, which only applies to Shivcha Harufa, not to Arayis. Now, qualifies the Mishnah, Ezeh Shivcha, what's considered the Shivcha Harufa that we're discussing? So, says the first opinion, where she's half maidservant, and she's half freed, and she's designated for to a man. So, like I said, the pasuk in the Yikra, the heftulei neftasa, redeem but not redeem. That's divrei Rabbi Yehuda, or as the Gemara says, divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's the type of shivcha haruf we're talking about. Shmuel, he says, no, zuhi shivcha vadois. We're talking about definitive, complete maidservant. She's totally a maidservant who's designated for a man. That's the type of maidservant that we're talking about that has this halacha of having relations with our of a shivcha haruf. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, or as the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says, kol arayis mufarashis. All the forbidden relations are explicit in the Torah that they're regular free women. The shir ein lanu, and therefore we don't have anything left over to say that why this is a different type of an erva. Only to describe it in the case of when she's half maidservant and half free woman. That's the case of the Shevach Aruf, and the Gemara's going to explain what's the difference between him and the first opinion, where they both seem to be saying the same thing, that we're talking about a Shevcha that's Chetzi Baskarin, and Chetzi Shevcha, that's the case of what we're describing of the Shevcha Harufa.